Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Prisons are full of people born in sin, born with a propensity to do wrong. But as Paul says, we're all, by nature, the children of wrath. In our study of key doctrines, we're coming to grips with the sin we rationalize. Today, you'll hear more of this study. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. In examining the issue of sin, we find that sin first appears in infancy.
And the Bible would teach that because of Adam, we are all constituted sinners and we're all born under condemnation. That sweet little baby is not innocent. A doctor in Edinburgh said that every child that is born a potential criminal. The nature of Bin Laden and the nature of Hitler was no different than your nature when you were born. The only difference is God's grace, environment, and situation, but we're all coming into the world as rebels. Why do you think a doctor, when a baby is born, he always spanks the baby twice? Have you ever noticed? Once, so that the baby gets air in his lungs. The second time he spanks him is to keep the kid from stealing his wristwatch. We're all born sinners. We're all born sinners. And the Bible says we are by nature the children of wrath. You say, well, don't babies go to heaven when they die? Yeah, we believe that they go to heaven when they die. But the reason those babies go to heaven when they die is because God credits them, it must be this way, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because even that sweet little baby is born in sin. You say, well, that can't be. The Bible says very clearly that proof of that is the fact that babies die. And one of the effects of the fall, one of the effects of sin, is death. So the reason that babies die is because they aren't as innocent and as cute as you think they are. They're very cute, but, you know, they all come into the world thinking that they are really the one, I've known babies to be born who are born complaining about the temperature of the delivery room. And you don't have to teach a child to steal or the art of self-protection, of lying. All of that comes very naturally. All that you need is a situation to bring it out. Now, all of us have a dark side to us. This is what Lewis Smedes wrote. Listen carefully. Our inner lives are not partitioned like day and night with pure light on one side of us and total darkness on the other. Mostly our souls are shadowed places. We live at the border where our dark sides block our light and throw a shadow over our interior places. We cannot always tell where our light ends and our shadow begins, or where our shadow ends and our darkness begins. Wow. That's why the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then it goes on to say, but I, the Lord, search the heart. Only God knows the potential of evil that resides in any one of us. It's known only to God. Some of you, I know, have been born to parents who abused you. And you see, even though we're born under the condemnation of sin, we ultimately become responsible for our choices. Some of those choices that you made as a child, you may not be responsible for, because God is fair in this regard. But eventually, their story ends and your story begins. And you and I all become responsible in the sight of God, not just by nature, but also by choice. And God chose to bring proof of that to this auditorium right at this moment, didn't he? Augustine, sometimes pronounced Augustine, lived in 354 to 430 AD, obviously, had a great impact on theology. Some of his impact has been good, and some of it has been not so good. But the point that he made about sin is right on. It is true to experience, and it is also true to the Scriptures. Augustine, in his Confessions, which is known as a classic, took the time to probe his own experience and show that that experience was totally consistent with what the Bible has to say. Completely consistent if you were thoroughly and completely honest. It's honesty that you and I need. For example, the Bible says that he who lives in pleasure is dead while he lives. Hugh Hefner is dead while he lives, no matter how much he parties, because there's deadness not only in this world, but imagine having that sin upon your conscience for all of eternity, for as long as God exists. Unless he repents, he will be guilty. Wow. What Augustine said was this: he looked within his own heart, and he knew that he was guilty and polluted. He knew that he could not only steal, that was one thing that he did as a boy, but what amazed him was that sometimes he stole things he didn't even need, he just enjoyed stealing. He looked at his heart and not only saw the sin of covetousness, but saw the sin of envy. And my goodness, envy is so much more powerful in ways than covetousness. Covetousness means that I want what you have. Envy says, I don't want you to have what you have. Cain could have had the same blessing as Abel. God said to him, Cain, if you do good, if you bring the right sacrifice, you can be accepted by me just like your brother Abel. But there was something in Cain that said, I don't want what my brother Abel wants. I'm not satisfied with that. There is a cauldron that is burning within me, and the only thing that will extinguish it is the blood of my brother. I want to kill him because of the fact that you accepted him. Have you ever noticed how we delight in the fall of others? Some of you have a problem with gossip. I'm tempted to say, shame on you. I won't, but I guess I just did, didn't I? You take delight and you pass gossip around like an hors d'oeuvre at a happy hour, wanting to tell others the way others have failed. Where does that evil and sin come from? It arises within the human heart. So Augustine saw that he was guilty and polluted. Now, the next point needs a little bit of clarification, and you need to think about this for a moment. He also knew that though he sinned by one kind of necessity, because he was a sinner, obviously he would therefore sin, he also knew that that sin was not absolutely necessary to be a human being. And that's why he felt guilty about it. If we sinned like a bird grows feathers, we wouldn't feel guilty about the sin because that is physical necessity. But Augustine said, we don't sin by physical necessity, but we do sin voluntarily, and that's why we feel this sense of guilt. And sin, strictly speaking, is not necessary to human nature, as proved by the fall, because prior to the fall, Adam and Eve were fully human, though they did not have a sin nature, nor had they sinned. And Augustine said, that's why we feel this sense of shame and this sense of guilt. And we all do, if we're honest. Then, he also concluded that nobody can change his own nature. He knew that he couldn't change his. He looked around and knew that no one can change his desires at will. You can't choose to get up and say, I'm not going to do this anymore and not do that, particularly if it's an addiction. You might be able to curb some things, but your fundamental nature can't be changed by you. You are who you are. The Bible asks the question, It says, can a leopard change his spots, Jeremiah said, speaking on behalf of God. And God says, then you who love evil can also begin to love good. The answer is no, you can't. You need God's intervention. And thank God that that's where grace comes in our predicament. Let me therefore summarize what I'm trying to say very briefly as we think about bringing this down and making it transforming for all of us. First, Calvin was absolutely right when he said we can have no knowledge of who we are until we know who God is. If you don't know who God is, you don't know who you are. You'll rationalize who you are. You'll excuse who you are. You'll bungle along taking all the good things that you've done, because you've probably done a lot of good things, and you'll try to balance them with the bad things and hope that it comes out. But if you know who God is, you know that that does not work. The sin that you have on your conscience today, a sin that you have committed, you will be guilty of 10 years from now. You will be guilty of that sin 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, and 1,000,000 years from now. You'll still be guilty of that same sin unless God takes it away. That's the nature of sin. Once you begin to fall, you have to continue to fall. And you can't right your direction. 1,000 years of suffering will not take away your guilt before God. And that's why suffering, incidentally, has to be eternal, unless God intervenes. Secondly, salvation is God's intervention. Oh, praise God for verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, and the next message in this series is the salvation, the gospel that we proclaim, where all that I'm going to do is continue on in this passage, explaining what salvation is now that we've looked at what sin is. That's the next message in the series. That God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, even when we were deceived, even when we are depraved, God, who is rich in mercy, comes to the graveyard and says, arise, be connected with me. My friend, I really do think that the gospel of salvation, the message that you and I believe, has more implications and is much more beautiful than you and I can possibly understand. It's not just a matter of us taking our lives and trying to clean them up. It's God coming to us to regenerate us. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope you do that today. Listen to the voice of the Spirit, believe in Him, and be saved. God bless you. Have a good day.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Sin We Rationalize, the fifth message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time, why the gospel's good news is a lifesaver for all who sin. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.